Good morning. It's 11:06 here at News Radio 1580 WCCF, and time now for the Dr. Triana Show, brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center and the Triana Center for Hormone Balance. This is a live medical talk show in which we encourage you to participate. Our phone numbers are 206-1580 or toll-free 1-888-441-1580. Lines are wide open. And now, your host in the program, Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
I love when you say lines are wide open. Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Elizabeth Triana. We have such a wonderful group. A guest today, we have Dr. Brian Katz. We have his beautiful wife, Carol Katz, and their beautiful grandson here, who's visiting. And we have a great show for all of you. And if you have any questions, please call us at 206-1580. I would like to start off by saying thank you. Yesterday, I was honored by the Azanta International, the local chapter, and for contributions to the community. It's called their Yellow Rose Award, and I was given a beautiful plaque and honored at their luncheon yesterday. And I was given these beautiful yellow roses. My mother was there, and they introduced my mother, too. That was very nice. Judy Wilson and her husband, they were just great. And it was really interesting because when we walked into the luncheon, they had like a runner with empty shoes on it.
Yes.
And did you, Carol,
yeah,
you saw
that?
That
was very impressive.
Wasn't that? Carol came too, and it was so nice to have wonderful friends there. And it was impressive to see these empty shoes on a runner. And actually, that was to symbolize all these people who are being trafficked. Human trafficking, and that's one of the things they bring to the forefront. If you all remember, we've had also the lady Terry from Girls on the Run, and we had Linda Lusk on that show from CARE. And I know, Carol, you also are involved with CARE, right?
I'm on the auxiliary committee for fundraising and different events that we hold.
That's really wonderful. So, you know, there's such great groups out there. And then to be honored by Azanta that was started in 1915. And I feel very honored because one of the Azantas was Amelia Earhart.
Wow.
And she was quite an amazing person. So I want to thank the Azantas for this award, this honor. If you go to Facebook, you'll see a picture of me with the plaque and with my staff who are just wonderful. So today we have, I'm going to introduce to you Dr. Brian Katz. Dr. Katz, you're going to have to give us a little bit about your bio. He is a doctor of chiropractic medicine.
So, that is correct. Correct way to say it.
Yes, and he said Cairo like Egypt. So, talk to us, Dr. Katz. What led you down this path?
I think my mother and my father, interestingly enough. My dad was a small store owner, and I always could remember him always going, when anything hurt him, going to the chiropractor. Now, the chiropractor in those days, when I was a little kid, was like upstairs in a small, dark apartment, and you went up there. It was very impressive, and he...
And where was this, in New York?
This was in New York, and they
I know you because you have a beautiful New York accent.
He never let me see
God bless you.
What was going on, but I could hear things coming like ouch, and oh, and good, but I was behind this curtain, and he would never let me see what this man was doing to him, and it was very impressive. Now, we come forward to my mom, who was very far ahead of herself. She was into holistic medicine. Then she was into cod liver oil, which tasted terrible, prevention, eat oatmeal, which was like stick to your ribs. I remember my mom made skim milk with powdered milk, and she would say, you don't need the fat. Now, I was always a little on the chubby side, but my brother was a skinny, skinny guy. He could have used the fat. So that started as a little of an intro. And when the time came, after I had finished or went through 2 years of college, I had to decide what I wanted to do. So my dad said, be a dentist. I said, oh, Dad, I can't think about being a dentist. He said, well, find something that you're going to like. So I met a guy that was a chiropractor. And he was very, very influential in getting me to start looking around as to how different that was. And I was always a different child. This was not medicine. It was not allopathic medicine. It was not homeopathic medicine. It was a new kind of, I thought, thing.
So he was your mentor.
It was, so my dad, between his treatments and the fact that this guy showed me what he did, he actually let me have a look to see what they were doing. I wound up, after I went and got my bachelor's degree, I went to LACC, which was in Los Angeles, which was a very liberal chiropractic school, extremely liberal. I, for an example, delivered 8 babies, because the law was different in California.
Well, you could deliver babies?
I delivered babies. We did minor surgery. We had basic pharmacology, things of that nature. Actually, that school splintered off and then became an osteopathic school. But I had the beauty of a background of a holistic practice from my family and holistic practice from a school.
Wow, that's great. So you went all the way from New York to California.
Yes.
That's a big trip when you've always lived in New York.
Well, it was a big trip. In fact, just the other day, I saw my brother who lives in Sarasota, and we were talking about the car that we would drive back, because he did a surgical residency in California, and we would go back and forth, and we used a Renault Dauphine, which was a little tiny car.
Now, he's a podiatrist,
yes,
right?
Yes. My brother's a podiatrist.
Right.
He's now, no longer practices, but they have a 4-office, 6-docked operation still in Bradenton, Sarasota, Ellington, and other places.
And he's your older brother.
He's my older brother.
Okay. So
he was a great brother.
So you all were in giving care to other humans.
Yeah.
That's a great
path. We were
caregivers.
My brother was a caregiver in all ways. So it was very, very interesting. And he's a great guy.
Well, that's great. So you decided, then you became a chiropractor, and you practiced in New York?
I practiced in a little, my very first office I opened up was in Sayville, New York. And it's an interesting story that I found out after about 2 weeks when the office was opened that my very first patient, her name was Florence Pugh. She's now passed away.
Isn't it great he remembers his first patient?
Yeah, she was the heir to the Blue Goose fortune. Blue Goose was citrus from California. They were very well-to-do people. And she came, there was a sign I put in the front of the office that said, on or about so-and-so, Brian E. Katz, D.C., will open an office for the practice of chiropractic medicine here. And she came in while they were building the office, and she said, have you, and she was wearing a breathing tube, and she said, did you ever have any, experience with asthma? And at that time, I have to tell you, I felt I could cure the world. I mean, if there was such a thing as a cure for everything, here he was with 10 fingers. Because, chiropractic means practice of the hands. It's practicing just with your hands. And I said to her, because I needed a patient, oh, yes, I could cure you,
So, well, when you're young, we can do anything, right?
So she said, well, I would like to be your very first appointment patient. I said, okay. So when the time was right, I went and I gave her a telephone call, and she came in the office, and she reiterated that I have asthma, and that I would like you to see if you can cure it, because I want to go to Haiti. I said, oh, why do you want to go to Haiti? And she said, I want to go to Haiti to go to the witch doctors. I said, you're kidding me. I said, well, I'll try twice as hard. So she made an appointment, and I treated her for 6 weeks. And one day she came in, I didn't even understand this, without her little tube. And I said, Florence, how are you? She said, oh, I'm really much better. Do you think I could go to Haiti now? I said, well, maybe let's give it a couple more weeks. And she went to Haiti and she brought me back, which is very interesting, a small doll that fell off my bookshelf in the office and fractured its chest. And all the stuffing of this little doll, it had a picture. I wore a tie then with a white long coat. I really was doctor-like. I mean, I have to tell you, sometimes now...
Now
I
we wear shorts in the office.
Sometimes well, I wear shorts. I mean, I know I do that.
Well, people were more formal back then. Well, you know, yes. You know, women would wear nylons, high heels, suits, you know, even now. I mean...
So it was interesting
people
that
people wore suits on the planes, too.
Yes, so I... Yes.
It was interesting that this thing fractured. I didn't know what to do with it. And it bothered me that the inside came out. Because that evening, going home, I was in a car wreck.
Oh, my gosh.
I split open my 6 or 7 ribs because I impaled myself on a steering wheel.
And they didn't have airbags?
No. This, I had an old Volkswagen. Are you kidding me? Well, it was it was a long time ago.
Yeah, like 50 years ago.
Right. So that was a very interesting, you know, kind of thing. Mm. And, of course, everything got better since then. And one thing led to another. I'll tell you one funny other little story, then I'll shut up.
No. Wait. So, wait. Before you say anything, if anyone has a question about chiropractic medicine, please call us at 206-1580 because we have lots to talk about today. We're going to talk about also, because Carol's here, she's a psychotherapist, we're going to talk about stress. Geez, I know about that. We all do, right? Sure, so what's go ahead, the other
story.
Well,
the stress that I had when this one patient, Sayville in Long Island, was where the ducks were grown. They had big duck farms. So one day, a patient made an appointment and came in, and he had a bag under his arm. And I gave him, you know, an examination. I gave him a treatment, and don't get scared. It was $4 for the treatment and $3 for the exam, $7 for an office visit.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so now you can't get an aspirin in the hospital for 7 days, $7. So after I finished working with this man, and I was really, it was hot, and I worked hard, he said, okay, I'll give you a Muscovy duck in place of money for the treatment. I said, what kind of duck?
A real duck?
No, it was a dead duck. But
it was dead?
Oh, yeah, it was a dead duck. It was ready to eat. You know, he was a duck farmer. He wanted. I said, what's a Muscovy duck? He said, well, it's a duck that's like dark meat. I said, I don't like no dark meat. He said, well, I can get you a white meat duck. I said, I don't want that. I said, I need the money. I don't need no ducks. Just like that.
I need the money. Well, so that, people used to barter, right?
Yeah, so that started it all. And, of course, from that, our message was very straight. We could help certain things. We can help a little of certain other things and certain things we just had to refer. So I was famous for being a diagnostician as to what we could treat and what we couldn't. And I wound up having multiple offices and lots of doctors working for me. And so it
was
fun.
That's wonderful. All in New York?
Yep.
In Long Island?
No, in Long Island. Yeah, well, Long Island, Nassau, Suffolk County.
Oh, wow. That's great. That's really
Manhattan.
Great.
Rockland County,
Manhattan.
Okay.
I had an office across the street from the New York Athletic Club.
In Manhattan,
yeah.
Oh, wow, that's great.
I can tell you stories when we have a social about the people there. But
all the famous people, yeah. Okay. So today, I'm glad you talked to us about what led you down the path. And what is the number one complaint that patients you found throughout your career would present themselves with at a chiropractic office?
Okay. It would seem to me that I would hands down say neuromuscular conditions of the spine and the low back and neck. That seems to be one of the biggest problems with workers' comp now also, that they have more complaints for low back conditions that people go out on than any other single condition. So I would tend to think the conservative treatment of low back conditions followed by neck conditions.
And why do you think we have so many low back conditions? Well, the chairs, what is it?
We originally come from upstate New York, and there are many fields there that are subdivided into little sections by rocks. The men and women who pulled those rocks out of the ground and made fence lines, didn't suffer with the back conditions that we suffer with now. The single biggest reason why back and back conditions are so prevalent today is because we are very, very...
Hello, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning, caller. What's your first name?
Stanley.
Hi, Stanley. What's your question?
I have a question. Is it possible that a shoulder pain or shoulder injury could be related to the neck?
We'll defer that to Dr. Katz. Thank you for calling, Stanley.
Okay.
Stanley, yes. The answer, without a question, can be. Other things must be ruled out, but the nervous system does leave the neck area via the spinal openings and go into the shoulder. But it could be many things. It could be a rotator cuff injury. It could be an injury to tendonitis, or it could be a neuromuscular injury. It's relatively easy to check out.
Oh, and he hung up. So that was a great
maybe
question.
Maybe he hung up to listen.
Yeah, he hung up to listen. That was a great question, Stanley. If you have any other questions, give us a call back at 206-1580.
I have a question for Dr. Katz. If someone in Stanley's condition has those symptoms, what should they do about that? Do they need x-rays or just go to a chiropractor?
They need an exam first to see if they can isolate what the problem or the etiology is. They may wind up having an x-ray or even something more sophisticated such as a CT scan or an MR scan. There are many, many ways, an ultrasound scan. It depends upon the longevity. A lot of times, slight rest stage and then moderate introduction of exercise and if necessary, pain medication to control the pain could be used, and it will self-clear itself. So it depends upon, it needs to be examined.
Do you think people have more lower back pain now because we're more sedentary?
Absolutely.
Okay. So the people that would pick up stones, and I saw a show about the Romans making this wall across between England and Scotland. So those people, of course, they were exploited and slaves. But if people used their bodies more, they would have less complaints.
Absolutely. The body is fighting gravity constantly. In order for us to fight gravity, we use muscles. If we do not use those muscles, we lose those muscles, and the supportability of the spine and the skeleton in general would fall apart. If you cut all the ligaments and tendons between the joints, you'll have a pile of bones. It would not look humanoid at all. So it's the muscles that are supporting us.
And it's true. It is the old adage, if you don't use it, you lose it. So people who stay in good shape have better spine health.
Absolutely. You know, when I went into practice, they used to recommend, I never did this because I didn't believe in that, but they would recommend bed rest for a low back injury. That was the worst possible thing that you could do. After 72 hours, that patient should be up and doing something. I'm not saying that they should go back to doing if they do it for hard physical work. But you could rest assured, it's very interesting that I always use this as an example. A man is a laborer. He lifts 80-pound bags of cement. All day long he does that to throw it into the mixmaster. He comes home at night, his wife makes him a nice meal, and she says to him, honey, take out the garbage. He lifts up this 5-pound bag of garbage, throws it in the garbage can, and, quote, throws his back out, unquote. All day long, he's doing 80 pounds. Why is it that the 5 pounds threw out his back, quote, unquote? Because when he used his back and his muscles to lift the cement, he got into a certain position, the right position, how to do it.
Okay.
So he was being protective. The 5 pounds, maybe he overreached, maybe he was off balance. Mm-hmm. So you never really know.
You pay attention less.
Yes.
So when people say they throw their back out.
Well, I always say, how far did you throw it? But of course.
Because that is a common term.
Right, I know.
I bent down to tie my shoelaces and I threw my back out.
Right. You hear that a lot. And when I first went into practice, I thought that it would be wise for me to educate the world that there's no such thing as throwing your back out. But I gave up on it.
I wonder where that even came from, throw your back out.
I don't know. Something to research. So now I just say, oh, you threw your back out? And they say yes.
Yeah, well, you know, there's certain common terms that people use, and you know, you just have to, you try to tell people what it is, and but those terms keep propagating in society. Mm-hmm. It's
one thing I've noticed from my training at the gym when I was training with a personal trainer, especially, is I'd see people that after the workout, they would say, boy, you know, I'm in so much discomfort, I'm in so much pain during the workout, I'll never do that again. And then the trainer says, you should do that again. I mean, they can't push past the pain. And I was the same way. The first time I felt like the muscles of my quad muscles tensing up, I would say, oh man, I'm somehow hurting my body. No, you're doing your body a favor. I found out later.
So I find, and this is our focus today, is stress. So people, I think stress is something that we, not only do we put on ourselves, and hello caller.
Hi,
what's your name?
I want to ask Dr. Katz, I had a friend who used to be a chiropractor here. Hello?
Yeah, hi mommy.
No, you don't have to recognize her.
It's my mother.
Ask Dr. Katz, because this is a genuine question.
You have to put loud.
The friend of mine who used to be a chiropractor here, one of the very first, always said that he used the Palmer method only.
Good question.
What does that mean?
You're such a smart lady. I think I met you about 10 times, and every time I met you, I always thought you were smart. And now you prove that. That's very good, Mercy. We have a personal relationship, this lady and I, but it's a good question.
That's my mother, everybody. Thank you, Mom.
Well, his name was Dr. Saunders. His father was a chiropractor in Arcadia. I'm talking 40, 50 years ago.
Well,
and he was a chiropractor here. And he said that that's what he used.
The Palmer method. By the way, you say chiropractor beautiful. I have to tell you that. Number one.
Thank you, Mom.
I'm going to hang up so I can hear it, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Tres leches.
Tres leches. No, she makes the best flan on the earth.
Flan.
Oh, my gosh.
Mercy, flan. First thing.
Anyway, thank you, Mom.
Anyway, the Palmer method. Chiropractic as a distinct and different practice was sort of discovered by a man by the name of Palmer. And therefore, he started the first school. He had about two or three students, and he taught them this method that he thought was going to cure everything. And since then, there's been a few other like schools of thought about this, and I did not go to a Palmer school. I went to a very liberal school that was based upon an amalgamation of different manipulative procedures. Which did include the Palmer method, but not solely. It doesn't appear to be a solely Palmer method now. There are multiple disciplines that the schools teach, and the students can then take a postgraduate or a fellowship in a particular technique, such as Gonstead, such as Cox. These are the name of people that had splintered off from the Palmer method.
That was a great question. Thank you. So what is the number one area you think that people exhibit stress in their bodies?
At one time, I thought in the shoulders. And there was a study recently done 10 years ago that there is a greater amount of cardiovascular acute disease as in the cold weather. And I pictured coming out of a warm house in Boston, poor Boston got sucked in with snow.
Oh, yeah.
And the first thing you do is you elevate your shoulders up like that. And that would constrict everything. It just did a constriction. The body is supposed to be free. So I think that the place that you would see tension a lot is in the cervical and thoracic spine, or junction of the two, which is the neck and the shoulders. The low back has stressful areas also, but they are big muscles. They're big, dark muscles. Did anyone ever think about why a chicken has dark meat and light meat?
Mm-mm. That's right.
There's the anti-gravity muscles are always dark. So a chicken's leg.
Is that the hind?
The back end, the legs, the thigh. Mm-hmm. The reason why it's dark is, as Dr. Triano would know, there's more blood vascularization there because they're working more.
More, and they need more oxygen.
That's right. That's
oxygen.
That's it. So you see, it's interesting to start breaking down the way the body physiologically works and how it evolved into being what we are today. So yes, the cervical thoracic spine is where you see most of the stress. But now, as of late, I have been going in a different way. There's something called a transient ischemic attack, which are small little spasms in blood vessels.
Right.
Which they don't have a pathological afterlife. So it's very hard to spot them. But what they are spasms of the muscles in either the arterioles or the arteries, because there's a muscular layer in them. And if they block blood flow, or if they come spastic in an area where there's a lot of plaque and the plaque gets set free, you have a stroke, you can have an embolism, you can have something that is, you know, life-threatening. So where does stress come into play with that? I personally feel that I see a very strong connection. Now, being married to a woman who deals with stress on the opposite non-physical end, but that there is physical manifestations of it, is amazing. I bet you if the audience was to ask Dr. Triano what level of stress hormones you could measure, we would see it much higher today in the blood floating around than they did 25 years ago. I just find it amazing. That's as amazing to me as that. Do you notice that everyone walks around with water bottles, drinking water all the time? What
right.
do you think that is?
They never used to.
They never used to. But, you know, we never used to eat as much processed foods.
Or salt, so much salt.
Well, that's the processing.
Chemicals in the foods also.
Chemicals.
The food, chemicals.
Preservatives.
It's just amazing to me. Amazing.
That's true.
So we're trying to wash out all the the inorganic materials we're ingesting.
Right.
We're going to have a quick little break, but I want everyone to stay because Carol Katz, who's a psychotherapist, I want her to say something about what we can do to make not have this manifestation of stress in our bodies.
Another morning where you just drag yourself out of bed after hitting the snooze button 5 times. Now you're driving to work. It's like a zombie. That lack of energy and poor sleep every night is just one sign that your hormones may be out of whack. Time to get them back in balance with Bio-T. Both men and women need testosterone and suffer without it. And all you need is a quick little test. My testosterone was too low, my estrogen too high, and it meant that I was just foggy and irritable every day until I learned about Bio-T Medical. Bio-T is all natural. It's not synthetic. It's not those shots or messy creams that you hear a lot about. With Bio-T, all you need, 2-3 treatments a year, as opposed to painful shots that you're getting every week. Come out of the fog, feel youthful again, get that libido back up, feel happy, even maintain your weight loss.
Hi, this is Dr. Elizabeth Triana. Let me balance your hormones with Bio-T. Call me at 941-625-1990. For your appointment.
It's 11:35 here at News Radio 1580 WCCF, and you're listening to the Dr. Triana Show, brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center and the Triana Center for Hormone Balance. Be sure and check out the website at TrianaPreventionCenter.com. Once again, that's TrianaPreventionCenter.com. And let's get back to the program. Here's your host, Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
Thank you. And today we have as our guest, Dr. Brian Katz. chiropractor, a doctor of chiropractic medicine, and we have Carol Katz, psychotherapist, and we're very excited that they are here today. We're just learning very interesting things about chiropractic medicine, but we're going to try to focus it a little bit more on stress and the stress. And I totally agree with you that you know, we all respond differently to stress, and we respond in different parts of our bodies. Carol, talk to us about your experiences with people with stress. I know you're an addiction specialist.
Well, certainly addictions is one way to deal with stress, but it's not a very healthy way. And I rarely meet people that aren't stressed in one way or another, whether in my practice or in my personal life. And myself included. Brian, Dr. Katz and I talk about stress a lot because my tendency many times is to get stressed over things. And there's a great little book called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, because it's all small stuff. And that's something I have to remember for myself personally a lot, because we make things very important that really aren't so important, and we get stressed over them. And sometimes then we're living in the stress and we don't even remember what created it to begin with. And how do we know we're stressed? We can feel, like Dr. Katz was saying, tension in our body.
Right. Pain.
Pain in our shoulders, in our neck, in our back, in our stomach. So many people have intestinal problems from stress. We get headaches. From stress?
Insomnia.
Insomnia, yes.
That's a major complaint.
big, a lot of people have insomnia. And then what do people do? They take pills to go to sleep.
Or they drink alcohol, thinking it's going to relax them, or other medications.
Right. And alcohol actually disturbs sleep.
Correct.
It may make you feel tired when you're going to sleep, but it doesn't give a restful sleep. So it actually works against restful sleeps. And so what do we do for stress? Do we not take things so seriously? Do we lighten up in our life? Do we exercise more to relieve stress or be outdoors more and appreciate the beauty of nature? Excuse me. We can meditate. Meditation is a great way to relieve stress. And do more things that we enjoy, that relax us. Some people just relax. Sometimes I like just vegging out in front of the TV. I don't have to think. My body's relaxed. I'm just relaxed.
Right. So, mindless, senseless entertainment. That's
yeah,
what I
exactly.
call it.
Exactly. It's okay to do that sometimes. And, you know, and be gentle with yourself, too. A lot of times we really do take life too seriously. And I'm not saying that we don't have major problems in our life or major things to get stressed over. But if we keep our life more in the present moment, like what are we dealing with right now? Because our minds are usually either living in the past and remembering what was, or we're projecting into the future. What will be. And a lot of times we get stressed over projecting into the future. Not necessarily as much about the past, because we know the past.
Right.
But when we project the future, a lot of times it's stressful because it's unknown. So we're very rarely sitting in the present moment. Because if we just live in the present moment, and it doesn't mean not planning for the future or not having goals, but set those goals or make those plans and then live in the present as you incorporate them into your life. So by doing that, I think we could handle anything really in the present moment in a less stressed way, because it helps to put things in perspective.
Right.
Even pain. You know, sometimes you... Let's take the example of hitting your finger with a hammer. It's like, oh my God, that really hurts. But when you really look at that pain, what is it? We know blood is flowing to that area, but how does it feel? It's pulsing, right? And it's really just vibration. It's like pulsating vibration. But we label it pain because we know if you hit your hand with a hammer, this is pain.
It hurts.
But if you bring it to its essence, it's pulsating energy. And when you look at it that way, it helps decrease the pain. Because you could say to yourself, okay, this is just energy pulsating. Right? But so there's different ways to look at things that happen in our life that we normally would label stressful or painful or hurtful. So, and I think also breathing exercises are very important.
Breathing is very important. And I always tell people, take a walk, walk. Mm-hmm. But looking at the chiropractic side of walking, a lot of patients tell me, it hurts to walk.
Mm.
They have pain. And it's because, again, they're not doing it enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just not using their bodies.
I know a lot of times I'll be feeling fine and then I'll sit on our couch for a couple of hours and I get up and my back really hurts.
It's stiff.
It's stiff because I've been sitting in one position for that period of time. I'm not using those muscles. So when I get up to use them, yeah, they hurt. And as we get older also, I guess our muscles get tired quicker. And one thing I wanted to say about the exercise with using back muscles is also the importance of using the abdominal muscles and strengthening them. Because if you have strong abdominal muscles, you have stronger support in the back. Is that correct?
That's correct. The posterior rectus spinalis, which is the muscles that support the spine and the back of the back bone, are the opposite of the anterior ones, but the anterior ones are very small compared. So we depend upon the abdominal. There's five abdominal musculatures, and we sit too much, and we have flaccid bellies, and then we want to go out and do all kinds of physical things. I want to just point out something that, you know, as I was sitting here listening to my lovely wife tell you about how she gets out of the couch, just as an aside, the reason why she's like that is because she sits on the armrest and the two dogs sit on the couch. But the fact of
all right, or on my chest or lap.
The fact of the matter is that
we have three Dachshunds, let me tell you. You ever had a 13-pound Dachshund just jump on your chest? Whoa.
How about a 70-pound lab?
Yeah.
Two of them.
One of the things that I want to, you know, point out is that there is stress, both good and bad. We could have good stress by, let's say, winning the lottery. And then we have stress about what are we going to do with the money? Then we have bad stress if we wake up in the morning. And I was just telling my grandson this the other day, that I got up one morning and I had a car that had four flat tires at the same time.
At the same time.
And what do you do with that when you only have one spare? So go figure it out. But the body reacts to bad and good stress basically the same way. Is that correct, Dr. Triana? That there's similar...
Yes, your hormones, your adrenaline goes up. The fight or flight. And it affects
Cortisol levels.
Everything jumps up. Your brain, all the chemicals shoot out.
Is that why people get headaches also from stress? Because of the cortisol increase in levels?
Maybe.
Well, you can get headaches. You can get all the different manifestations that we know, the pain, the muscle spasms, irritability, where people get very irritable when they're under stress.
Right.
They also have that, you've heard that rage.
Mm-hmm. And the thing also to remember when you're feeling stressed or upset or anxious is to pay attention to your breathing. I'm going to come back to the breathing again, because a lot of times when we're upset, we're holding our breath. We're not breathing normally.
Mm-hmm.
When we're relaxed, we have deeper breath coming in, going out. But when we're upset or we're frightened, or when our mind is racing and upset, how is the breathing? usually it's very shallow, and there's tightness in the chest area. So we're not getting as much oxygen into the body, into the brain, into the bloodstream. So it's very important for people listening that whether you're feeling good or whether you're feeling upset, pay attention to your breathing. And if you find your breathing is shallow, do a specific deep breathing, even just a few times, to relax your body, your muscles, and also to quiet the thinking.
So when you say breathing, because I know there's different, do you breathe in through your nose, out your mouth, or do you only breathe through your mouth when you're trying to like meditate? Because a lot of people ask that, how should I be breathing if I really want to relax or meditate?
Well, there are different breathing techniques, but I would say breathe in through your nose very deeply to the area below your belly button. See if you could breathe in that deeply, because usually we kind of stop in our chest area. We have shallow breathing. And not where you're breathing in and you're lifting up your shoulders, but keep your shoulders relaxed and just breathe in from to below the belly button area.
Hello, caller. What's your name?
Hello, doctor. This is Todd Katz, and I have been a patient of Dr. Katz in your studio longer than anybody else, probably. almost 50 years. I've never paid a bill, but I will tell you that this guy knows what he's talking about.
He sure does.
I'll just leave. I don't want to get charged by him, so I'm just going to leave you with that.
That's so nice that you this Todd, your son called. That's so sweet. and your son is here, Todd.
Okay, we'll pay you later when we see you. Don't worry.
I know. Do you know how long it's been that I've been trying to get him as a guest on the show? Finally, I got him here.
Years.
Thank you so much for calling, Todd.
It's interesting because when Dr. Katz and I started dating, he started treating me because I was going to a different chiropractor at the time.
Are you still on, Todd? Oh, no, I think he hung up. Because I guess Jonah wanted to say hello. Go ahead. What were you saying? You were going to him?
I was going to a different chiropractor. And then shortly after Dr. Katz and I started dating, he asked if he could treat me. And I was in quite a bit of pain from a very near fatal car crash I was in some years before. But a patient of his said to me in the waiting room one day, he said, if anyone can help you, this doctor can help you. And I agree with what Todd said. He is, from all the chiropractors I've been to, he is absolutely the best. He knows more about the anatomy of the body and different illnesses than anyone, and connects them all together in a way that's just impressive. He always impresses me with his bank of knowledge.
She's easy to impress.
I don't know about that.
I remember one time she was in the office, and in that particular office, I think I had 5 or 6 treating rooms, and I would walk from one to the assistants in the back, would place the patients, get them all ready, and I would go from room to room, and I would hum or sing.
Well, you did?
I just want to say that he's the only doctor, because I was once in one of those rooms.
Oh, we have another caller, Carol. Yes. Hello, caller?
Yes. Could you give me the location and the phone number of the doctor, please?
Oh, okay. The location and the phone number of the doctor. I'll let him answer that.
I do not see patients in Florida. I see patients only in New York. Even though I'm licensed in Florida, I go to New York to consult with patients every 2 weeks. I'm there for 3 days, and I don't see anyone here.
Well, they can make an appointment with you in New York.
They could.
That's right.
I don't take new patients in New York. Anyway,
I was in one of the treating rooms.
But thank you, caller. That was a great question. And Dr. Katz sees patients in New York, he said.
And Dr. Katz was walking around humming Old MacDonald Had a Farm. And I thought to myself, and it was shortly after I started being his patient, I thought, oh my God, I've never been in a doctor's office where the doctor was walking around singing, "Oh, McDonald had a farm." I thought, who is this guy? It was a funny experience.
And I always entered every room with a different animal section, such as it would end and it would go, baha here, baha there, a moo here, a moo there. This morning I told my grandson at breakfast, were those waffles good this morning? Just tell me. I made chocolate chip waffles this morning.
Oh, my goodness, and you didn't invite me.
And I said, I told him about Petunia the pig, and he's going to find out about Petunia the pig.
I just want to finish about that breathing, breathing exercises. So it's very important when you breathe in through the nose to breathe to the area below the belly button, because you're really taking a deep breath in. And you could breathe out through the mouth or through the nose, you know, whichever is more comfortable for you. There's no real set way because there are so many different breathing techniques. But just to breathe in slowly and even hold it for a couple of seconds and then breathe out very slowly. And if someone does that even just a few times, particularly if you're feeling upset or stressed or anxious, or you can't sleep at night because your mind is active, it will help slow it down. Because when we have a very active mind, our breathing is typically more rapid. And when our mind is calm and we're relaxed, our breathing is slower. So the mind and the breath are very connected. As we know, the mind and the body is very connected. But particularly the breathing, watch the quality of your breath.
Okay, that's great. Thank you for that information.
And by the way, instead of counting sheep when you can't sleep, count your breath.
That's a good idea too. So Dr. Katz, when someone comes with you and they have like a neck problem, you say you use your hands. Because I know chiropractors say they try to, what's called alignment. Could you talk to us a little bit about that?
Sure. The human spine has a certain pattern of straightness and angles, which are adapted to gravitational effects. The changing the in this angles and the alignment as we age and as we do different type of jobs, which are one-sided, we manifest different singular positions of the bones. It is the job of the chiropractor to make sure, to the best of his or her ability, that they align the bones so that the spinal cord, the spinal nerves, are now free-flowing. Because the energy that comes from the brain via this network of spinal nerves and spinal cord controls everything. We are a group of systems. We have an elimination system. We have an oxygen system. We have hormone systems. That without the nervous system integrating all of these,
it's a balance.
It's right.
It's an orchestra.
Homeostasis. Mm-hmm. The French homeostasis is the necessary function of a good body. In alignment will make it easier because the wires or nerves need to flow freely.
And in our sedentary lifestyle, your recommendations to prevent would be?
I am not a great believer in exercises that hurt you. I think 3 times a week, 30 minutes of exercise, depending upon your physiological state, is really what is necessary. You should try to walk a little bit, try to do things physical that are helpful. We are a machine. If you let a machine stay in the barn, it rusts. If we don't use our machinery, it's going to rust. As Dr. Triana said before, lose it. If you don't use it,
you lose it.
That's right.
And my mother used to say that old adage, she was, if you rust, you rust.
That's right.
Because she's like an energizer bunny, always on the go. And in my prevention center, I try to prevent bad things from happening. And also I balance patients' hormones so that they can they can age healthier. But also it's all integrated. Like you're saying, the bones, the spine, the mind, we have to look at the total being. And I think our society tries to break things up too much. Mm-hmm. Would you not say that?
I agree. I think that you're on the cutting edge of a very, very, very new direction, that the integration of everything is there. There are things about the body, everything we learn one time about something in the body, it opens 7 more doors that we don't know. So if we look at things in a way that are very positive, that this is good. I remember when acupuncture came onto the marketplace years ago, and they said they could cure everything. And what has happened with acupuncture is that it has found its own place. There are good areas for it to do work in, and there's not such good areas. But that's an integration. So with you, Dr. Triana, working on the nano findings,
the hormones, the body, and that's, you're right, we have to integrate and look at the total being. You cannot put everybody in a little compartment and separate it. And that's why I think your philosophy is wonderful too.
Yeah, but yet you have the philosophy that says the following, that if the thing is there and it's functioning, let it function well, give it what it needs to function well. And at the same time, we could make sure that all of these things are integrated. And the cutting edge of medicine today is going to now go to prevention, not acute
disease
treatment.
Just treat disease. No, right. We don't want to treat disease. We want to treat prevention. And we're getting, oh boy, this show has been so interesting. And we only have just a few minutes to go. And I want to thank Dr. Brian Katz, who is also, I have to say, Brian and Carol are great friends of my husband and I, and really just wonderful, wonderful people, both of you, and both in your professions are leaders and also are willing to come and teach us all and give us information. I think that's wonderful, and I want to thank you that you're here today, Dr. Brian Katz.
Mel, our thoughts are with you.
And Carol, I want to thank you again, too, always bringing an interesting perspective about the brain, the mind, about how we can do to help ourselves.
It's always fun to be here. Thanks, Betsy.
Thank you, Jonah. Thank you, Zane. And this is Dr. Elizabeth Triana. This is the Dr. Triana Show. God bless you. Stay healthy. And let's say a prayer for everyone who needs it. Thank you.